Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss block 5, the contemporary. In this block, we will talk about the last unit of this course, unit 15, with the title, In Their Own Tongue. Today, we will discuss about the importance of translated works of women within the literary field, and then the role of women in various movements in India. Then we will also talk about the importance of hearing the unheard voices of women from various regional writings. So, let us start. A significant number of texts that we read today as mainstream English literature are translated from other languages. Similarly, the feminist theory that is considered to be path-breaking has come into English from French. Translation thus plays a very significant role in world literature. Though the perceptions regarding translated texts are varied, one cannot ignore the fact that the most of the Indian literature that we consider as iconic today would have been lost if not for translation. An idea of women's writings in different tongues within the Indian subcontinent translated into English is important in understanding the contribution of women within the area of literature and their presence felt in the contemporary world. Storylines, Conversation with Women Writers by Amu Joseph, which was published in 2003, discusses the various challenges women face while making a space within the literary field. The 17 authors interviewed in the book, Writing in 9 Languages, show despite the gender-biased censorship and other related issues, how they could make a niche in the area of their studies. Now, we should also look at the complex relation gender shares with language, identity, and women's tradition. Amy Tan, in her essay, Mother Tongue, speaks about the relation between women and language. Her mother chooses to speak only in English that has a strong Chinese slang, even though she can speak proper English or English English. Thus, language becomes a connecting thread with one's identity, region, and ideological position in women's writing. Similarly, Meena Kandasamy wishes for an English that can accommodate all shades of an Indian language, Tamil in her case. For women, language is not restricted to a single standard form of utterance, but an entity that can be used in varied forms according to the user's competence and access. For these women writers from India, coming from diverse sections of the society, the use of language also varies. Not subscribing to the unidimensional usage, they twist and turn it according to their convenience. Now, let us quickly move on to reform movement and writing women. The major movements across the country like independence movement, revolutionary movements, art movements, if they are closely looked at, we will find male members as the leaders with almost an absence of women's voice and their contributions in the documented history as discussed in Unit 8. The question to be posed is whether this dearth or absence of women is because women were not an active participant in any of these movements, or is it because they were invisible before the dominant patriarchal world? This paved the way for many scholars to look at the role of women in many political and social movements. Initially, it was the male social reformers with the aid of the British administrators who spoke against the practices like child marriage, sati, prostitution, and segregation of women from public life. Later, the first generation English educated elite women took up issues with a special focus on fighting against child marriage, mobilizing masses' opinion for the voting rights of women, and imparting basic skills for women to be self-dependent. Activists like Tarabai Shinde raised their voice during this time, not just against patriarchy, but also against the caste system. Her Stree Purush Tulana, a pamphlet that critiqued upper caste patriarchy, is also considered as the first Indian feminist text. Cornelia Surabji, the first Indian woman barrister fought in the court of law on behalf of Pardanashis for the right to property. This struggle becomes a theme for her short fiction. The role of women and their contribution started getting acknowledged during the pre-independence period. Though at this stage, the enemy was not patriarchy, but colonialism. Colonialism was a bigger enemy than patriarchy. It was not like the patriarchy was not an enemy at all. But patriarchy in comparison to colonialism was a lesser evil. Colonialism became the reason for the persistence of tradition, which affected the women's movement. However, one of the main critiques against feminism and women's movement in India is that it centered itself around middle class and upper class women, like dowry, widow remarriage, polygamy, property rights, and the larger question of nation and nationality, not addressing the concerns of the lower caste, lower class women. It is at this juncture that the role of Jyotirao Phule and Dr. B.R. Ambedkar becomes very significant. Jyotirao Phule worked on gender oppression and liberation of women. He believed women's fight against gender oppression is similar to the Shudra's fight against the Brahmins. This is evident when one witnesses the slow emergence of Savitribai Phule, his wife, into national prominence. While Savitribai Phule's life in itself was a movement, writers like Baby Kamble and Urmila Pawar, through their literary work, tried to show the role of women in various movements during their times. Baby Kamble's The Prisons We Broke discusses in detail the role played by women of her community in fighting against the caste discrimination inspired by Dr. B.R. Ambedkar. The role of grandmother and the resistance against the brutalities of caste discrimination is very clearly portrayed. Grandmother's decision to call the people pig, and thereby a community deciding to ban eating the carcass as a result of the utterance of the taboo word, is boldly stated as one of the strategies employed by Dalit women to fight against casteism. Now let's talk about feminist world through women outcasts. As discussed in earlier units, women writers focused on a lot of topics from domestic lives to public debates of social relevance. Going beyond the stereotyped representation of the victim woman, one can witness the uprising of strong women questioning the social hierarchies. Women writers like Mahashweta Devi, Suniti Nam Joshi, Bama, Sara Joseph, Ismat Chugtai, Volga, and many others focused on bringing a different perspective to the central woman character. Mahashweta Devi's Dopti or Draupadi, translated to English by Gayatri Chakraborty Spivak, is an example of one such story of a woman who rejects her position of victimhood and, as an act of self-defiance, declines wearing the cloth in front of her torturers. The story breaks stereotypes at multiple levels. An untouchable woman becomes the central character. The voice of the subaltern woman is loudly and clearly asserted. The age-old tradition of associating and defining a woman based on her body parts is challenged, and the representation of victim woman waiting to be rescued by a man in the popular narratives like Thomas Hardy's Tess of the D'Urbervilles, T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, George R.R. Martin's A Song of Fire and Ice series, Thomas Heywood's play The Rape of Lucrece from 1608 is dismantled completely in this story. Like Dopti, one can see underrepresented characters finding space in voicing the unspeakable in many such women's writings. While the society looks down upon a rape victim for no fault of hers, it further pushes down women who choose or are pushed into works like flesh trade. Nalini Jamila, a Malayali woman writer famously known for her autobiography, Autobiography of a Sex Worker, points out the double standards taken by the patriarchal world. Her narrative accounts for a raw presentation of the violence inflicted on women within the domestic setup, how women within this sphere themselves become the mouthpiece of patriarchy, and how orality becomes a tool to obscure the violent patriarchal oppression. Now, these discussions are important within the context of women's writings. As such, topics were either not discussed or considered a taboo by male writers. The intricacies of women's problems finds the least space in such narratives. When Nalini Jamila speaks about the necessity for economic independence for women, it takes one to the early feminist discussion, especially propounded by Virginia Woolf, who said financial independence is necessary for women to stand on par with the male counterparts. While today, one may argue that women equally occupy most of the jobs available in the market, the ratio when compared to the opposite gender is still very meager. While female infanticide still stands as a growing crime in India, the women coming especially from the rural background who could survive such and many other brutalities are still at loss when they are not provided with education or made self-reliant. The woman outcasts, as the central characters discussed in the previous section, show how they voiced against women's oppression at multiple levels. Women voice against the stereotypical representation and questions the values espoused by patriarchy. Their writings are a resistance against neoliberalism, state terrorism, capitalism, patriarchy, and caste discrimination. So we've seen the struggle subaltern women had to go through when compared to their privileged upper caste women. So the voices of dissent are also heard very strongly from these writers. If one closely looks at the Dalit women's writings, every work is a struggle against the impending oppression. Every word uttered is a truth less spoken or not spoken by any writers who represented them, and their voice is a dissent against their representation. M.M. Vinodini's play Thirst, originally written in Telugu, titled Daham, is one of the best examples where the Dalit other speaks back, challenging the identity of the upper caste self. The play exposes the unfair exploitation and subjugation of Dalits and demands for a return of their dignity to lives and their land resources, which was unjustly taken away from them. The play highlights the horrifying practice of untouchability and exploitation of Dalit women, from using them as laborers to sex objects to breastfeeding surrogates. The every form of violence experienced by Dalits is portrayed in the play, where the methods, the perpetrators, and the agency could be different. These works are also the reflections of life. The play shows an evolving consciousness in Dalit women who question the feudal traditions, and play itself becomes a staging for their collective resistance. It also strongly criticizes the mainstream feminism, which failed in addressing the problem of the lower caste women. Caste and class play an important role in discriminating against women who are already discriminated against based on gender. The triple oppression suffered by women is also highlighted in the writings of Phoolan Devi, Baby Haldar, and C.K. Janu, among many other writers. Though these three writers belong to three different categories of life with their respect to their social setting, one can always see their sufferings along with patriarchy are incited by women who have assimilated this ideology. Baby Haldar's autobiography, A Life Less Ordinary, speaks of the life of a domestic worker who had to flee from home along with the children to save herself from domestic abuse. The exploitation of the housemaids by the rich urban families is very strongly penned in the autobiography. Phoolan Devi's autobiography, I, Phoolan Devi, the autobiography of India's bandit queen, again speaks of the physical, mental, and sexual exploitation of a woman. The life story exposes the condition of women and the girls from rural India who are forced into child marriage and becomes the victim of violence from the hands of men and also women. Another work that strongly pens resistance against the authority is C.K. Janu's Mother Forest, the unfinished story of C.K. Janu. The work is very important, as published works of Adivasis of India are still very minimal and Adivasi women from Kerala are almost non-existent. Now, let us talk about how globalization has impacted local speaking. Advocates of globalization argue in its favor by bringing in the rhetoric of development, advancement, and better standard of living it brought both to men and women. But on a closer analysis, one may wonder the objectivity of the development and improvement in the lives of women as claimed by the proponents of globalization. Globalization made its way in India by making serious changes in the economic and policy changes for the free flow of huge multinational companies and foreign investments. This affected the lives of women who were exploited and pushed into the unpaid labor sector. They are paid less compared to the men, put in hazardous situations, and are threatened by employment instability. Women writers spoke about this exploitation, which does not find space in the male narratives. Sajita Madathil's one-act play Matsya Gandhi speaks about the exploitation of the Araya or fisherwoman of Kerala, whose representation is very rarely seen or whose problems are romanticized instead of realistically portraying them. Sajita Madathil, one of the few women playwrights in Kerala, has written a captivating one-act play, Matsya Gandhi, which speaks about the contemporary Matsya Gandhis or fisherwomen around us whose voices are never heard. The title is inspired by the character Satyavati of Mahabharata. She exposes the different kinds of exploitation of the fisherwoman community. It is not just limited to their men, but is extended to sexual overtures that they have to face from other men in the market. The play also shows how globalization affects the otherwise neglected group of people, the fisherwomen. Globalization affected the fishermen community with the arrival of trawlers and foreign fishing ships. The play strongly reminds one of the status of a woman's body as a strong cultural signifier of morality. The unnamed narrator uses her body as a site of protest against the horrible experiences she has to suffer from the after effects of the so-called development and globalization. This play successfully questions various oppressive factors that affect the lives of Araya women. The unnamed narrator becomes a representative figure of any working class woman who is tied by the burden of morality attached to her body and who is struggling hard to liberate themselves from the clutches of pseudo-development and modernity as promised by government, which is supposed to actually protect them. Now let us talk about a couple of challenges in women's writings in translation. A theme that is as vast as women's writing in translation may pose before the compilers a huge challenge in the selection and elimination of texts. Another important factor is the problems of translation. Though the translators of many texts tried to stick to the original text, still, one cannot overlook the problems in translating culturally specific terms. These are a couple of challenges that people face in women's writings in translation. Let us very quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. The writings of the marginalized women belonging to different orders like caste, gender, race, ethnicity, sexuality attain extreme complexity as they question not just the normative heterosexual regimes, but try to bring an alternative self and identity, perspectives and worldview different from the normal into existence. Their existence is in negative relation with power. Their main attempt is to question the socially constructed identity imposed on them. They do this by rewriting their selfhood. Women's writings were considered subordinate to male writings as writings become an agency in asserting one's self and subordinating, that meant subordinating the self. We also talked about some of the women writers who wrote about the challenges and struggles that are faced by tribal or Adivasi women. This brings us to the end of Unit 15 in their own tongue. Thank you.